What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. This shit feel like we flowing down the Milky Way, man. Yeah. And smash the beat one time. See your resume like this, this shit be hard to find. I do have a tendency to do what's great and leave a legacy that's hard to duplicate. See, lyrically I'm undefeatable, respect the logo. Stupid if you think that you could test me, that's a no-no. Effective with the hits, especially when I went solo. And aggressive with the spin, I think you niggas know the cape, but nah. Let's take the shit back to the real side. The shit that you can really feel, right? See, I do this for the people, all my ladies and gents. Had them breaking down a barricade and jumping the fence. Leader of the newest shit, now let them see who the best. Hard to define it, so let it manifest in the flesh. Anytime I touch a microphone, you know I'm a bless. Niggas with the shit that you feel in your gut and your chest. Now I'm bouncing out the building, leave the shit in the mess. I'm finished fucking up the spots, and now it's back to the rest.
See how we killin' with the slow flow. And we got the game in a chokehold. I'm where I'm going, you won't go. I'm leaving the game, they begging the nigga, don't go. See how we hit the niggas this time.
Try to explain to you, bus, the shit is circumstantial. I am your friend as sure as you have plaques upon your mantle. So never doubt your man, come on with the extended hand. The only thing I ask of you is just to understand. Where your day one's your fam, so keep it cool, king, and worry not. I'm with you, nigga, let's get chicken rocks. We split the chicken in the kitchen like the Cocoa Rocks. I figured that I, my fellow Jedi, have a moment of clarity with courtesy, I speak candidly. I am your brother, my brother, so don't move angrily. Let the music grab you, why don't you take it back to the times of Busta Rhymes used to engage in battle. Niggas used to shake like dice, catch an L and pick a fight. The cypher used to get destroyed, the opponent was rendered void. The cheering section was employed, so girls and boys say he's nice. I know my nigga, I'm just stomping around in memory hall. Let's channel all that good energy into now, that's all. The rolly hands are moving rapidly around the stones.
Go check out that latest Busta Rhymes. I can't say it's new anymore because I think it's about 2 or 3 months old. But go check out Extinction Level Event Part 2 featuring Chris Rock. Speaking of Chris's, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at ChairShot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads, we implore of you, we beg of you, we ask of you. It is a new year, new you. You're going to get it right this time around. And for starters, the first thing you can do is by going to support your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. So make sure you all go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt, because we've got something you're going to like. I guarantee it. If you hate Meltzer, we got hashtag journalism. If you love the revival, we got Save Tag Team Wrestling. If you like us, Platinum Belaz, We got Platinum Blast 2020. You better get them fast before we send them off to Africa. Y'all know how this works. We also have Jesus Did the Job, if you're the religious type, and many, many other cool designs. You like beer? You like Corona? At least you used to. We got a Corona Chair Shot logo for you. We literally have something that I guarantee you're going to like. All you have to do is go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. Please and thank you, and please. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Belaz and the Commissioner Extraordinaire, PC Tunney. Yes, he's here.
Oh, it's so nice that Tunney is here. And I'm getting hobo drunk. So I am a very happy boy.
Yes, I am here. I am your, you know, endless entertainment experience, the eternal entity all up in your earballs.
How long did it take you to write that one? He doesn't want to say. Did you say hobo drunk, BT Dunn?
I did say hobo drunk, yes.
I just continue to come up with new ways to continue to get better and better. That's all. You know. Ever evolving over here.
You're just illuminating with alliteration. It's amazing. Yes, I gotcha. But yes, hobo drunk. So, friends of mine from the, I'm going to just say the New England area. And I maybe we're just friends because I stole their quarterback. So now they just want to become friendly because they want to become bandwagon fans of the Buccaneers. But they're nurses. And they told me that most of the hobos or the lesser income inclined people that happen to be there that are also alcoholic and have their own issues
are
big fans of a certain alcohol, which I wasn't really aware of, like a certain brand. And then I found out that my local liquor store carried it, and it is called a Natty Daddy, and it is 20 ounces and 8% alcohol, and it's only like $3. So I can understand why people with not a lot of scratch will grab a few of these and just get plastered for the night, because it's pretty fucking good. I mean, this is the lemonade version, and it's a good taste. It's a good time.
Bro, I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. This sounds like a cry for help.
No! It's an experience! It's for science! I needed to know what this was about.
I chug salt water all the time.
But that's not 8% alcohol, so I didn't want it right now. That's how this works. If
do,
I could
do we
make
need
salt
a...
or 8%
alcohol. Soda's rule.
Yeah, they do.
Do we need to set up a GoFundMe or something? Like, what's happening, man? Do we need to talk? We're here for you, man. We're your brothers. We're here for you. You need a virtual hug? What's going on, man?
No, we are leaving the virtual hug back in, like, 2019 or whenever we stopped fucking doing that. But, no, this is just science because I didn't know about it. And apparently it's all the rage up in, you know, the New England streets. And I just needed to know what it was like. I wanted to know if it was
well,
like...
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
I don't need more people. I need more Natty Daddies. That's what I need. Because these are fucking delicious. And like I said, 8% alcohol is a good buzz. What can I say?
Well, if nothing else, it's made me question my own self. So I think I'm going to switch to water for the rest of tonight's festivities.
You're going to be sober?
Kayfabe.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Oh my God, I wasn't sure what we were going to do if you were completely sober. That's going to be a weird fucking time.
I'm also not out here, you know, drinking battery acid either in a can, so there's that.
It's lemonade-flavored battery acid, sir. It goes down smooth. It's like Mary Poppins and that spoonful of sugar, but it's a Natty Daddy.
You can put sugar on shit, but you're still eating shit. You're still a shit eater.
It tastes better, though. I mean, sugar and shit both
you're
melt.
Not
you're not really winning either way there.
And you're not helping your cause. You're not winning either way either. You're not helping your cause at all, man. Like, what's happening? What's going on, man? What's happening?
Nothing. It's reruns and rerun. That's what's happening.
What's going on, man? Somebody buy this man some vegetables. Please go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt, because apparently we have got to send my beloved co-host to rehab. So
no, No, I mean, I might be like the Scott Hall of this group right now, but, like, I don't need rehab right now. I haven't been on Quaaludes in a while. It's all right.
They stopped making Quaaludes in, like, 87. What are you talking about, sir? You weren't born until, like, 88. What are you talking about?
These things have been hard for me to find them.
Jesus Christ. Tony, let's get on with this show while Andrew is still capacitated.
Gentlemen, it seems the WWE champion has come down with a bit of the COVID, if you haven't noticed. Thoughts, opinions, reactions, comments, concerns, what do we do moving forward? Could we end up missing that also-anticipated matchup between Drew McIntyre and Goldberg?
That's what happens when you walk around with a goddamn skirt / kilt on everywhere, man. You catch cold.
Okay, so McIntyre caught COVID through his butthole. It crept under his kilt and went into his butthole.
He butt chucks COVID? Shit,
he's got me beat. I butt chug salt water all the time.
Wow.
Comes from Tunney's mashup, though. That was great with the McIntyre and the Sweet Leaf. That was fantastic.
That was hilarious. But all jokes aside, just really quickly, I know that he's saying that he's asymptomatic. Drew, first and foremost, man, fuck all the bullshit. Just get better, man. Get healthy. Get better. Take your time. Don't rush. Prayerfully, you continue to be asymptomatic and you don't have to deal with that. And we can't wait to see you back. But seriously, he's been doing God's work this whole year. That being said, again, he is asymptomatic. We still got, 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks until Royal Rumble. So it's not inconceivable that he could be back for the Rumble and they can do that match. Because I don't think that match is, this isn't going to be Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12 Iron Man match. It was never going to be that. This is going to be 3 to 5 minutes of wham, bam, thank you, Goldberg. And then we keep it moving like an escalator. So I don't think it's time to hit the panic button as of yet.
Sorry, that was the third time you said Goldberg. I was waiting for it.
No worries, because the entrances are probably going to last longer than the match.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, is that what you're going to do? So the third time you say Goldberg, you have to play the music because it's like Beetlejuice, yes?
Or that's, Candyman.
That's two.
No, Candyman kills you.
So does Beetlejuice.
But Goldberg doesn't anymore. It's not 1990.
Just for this segment, so careful. Watch yourselves. The clock is ticking for the rest of the segment.
You said the winner today! Yeah!
Fa la la la, connect the dots.
I hope somebody gets those references. We're really dating ourselves here. Well, who am I kidding, man? Out of the three people that watch this or listen, at least two of them will get it, so that's fair. But that's all I got to say about that, man. Andrew, what do you think about these recent developments? And do you think that there's other people that have possibly been affected? I feel like it's kind of impossible for that not to have happened, right? Especially considering the show they put on Monday and they had to drag Triple H out of mothballs.
Yes. I mean, other people were probably, I guess, exposed to a degree, but who knows who has the vaccine? Who knows who wasn't in proximity? And if asymptomatic can spread it, because I'm still not 1,000% sure anybody knows if asymptomatic can spread it. It's just more of a quarantine thing. Like, I'm not saying they can't. I'm not downplaying anything. I'm just, for as much as we've been going through this for the last year or so,
we still don't know shit about it. That's my point I'm getting at.
So I'm just like, asymptomatic just means he's not showing signs, so maybe he's also not contagious. Who the fuck knows? you're right. The fact that Rumble is on the 31st and we heard about this on Monday, that's more than 14 days. So there's a good chance that, you know, McIntyre could still wrestle that match, or maybe they could make it cinematic or something and just have it be Goldberg doesn't care and goes after him or something like that. So they do something that way it's closed confines and it's not a match and it gets a little more than 5 minutes out of Goldberg because it's going to be retakes and reshoots. Who knows? I mean, it made Undertaker's last match look fantastic when we know he's a little well beyond his prime, to put it nicely. So who knows? They could definitely work their way through it. Plus Triple H and Randy Orton, no one's going to argue against that match because that was set up interestingly, especially with the Alexa Bliss fireball and the Fiend still kind of being around. So there's enough bullshit that they can pull at to kind of extend it or to make something or to pivot from it, I suppose. But I don't know. If we get it, we get it. If we don't, does anybody really care?
So let's just, before we move on to topic two, let's have a little bit of fun here. Let's speculate. Let's just say, and creator, don't give these words any power, but let's just say for the sake of argument and conversation, because we're conversing, that's what you do on podcasts, you converse. Let's say that Drew isn't going to be ready in time for the Rumble. If you're WWE, and Tony, you can chime in on this as well, what do you do? How do you pivot?
Well, what do you do with Goldberg?
It doesn't count when you say it, Melon Farmer.
Oh, okay. Got it. That's fair. Understood. Very much understood.
Anyway, though, to start the actual question off, let's just go with this. He faced Keith Lee for the championship on the 4th, correct? So they have a 30-day clause, so technically that would make you think that he can't get stripped until February, because that's how that clause should work. So it's irrelevant if he can't go by Rumble, because as per kayfabe, you know, he should still be fine.
Word.
I mean, I'm going to just play in this kayfabe space where they can do whatever the fuck they want to do because it's their show and they're WWE and it's Vince McMahon.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I agree with Andrew 100%. They're not going to, if he can't go at Rumble, then he'll go at the next one, and he's not, they're not stripping him of the title.
No, I'm not disagreeing with either one of y'all. I'm just saying he Andrew's playing back on the kayfabe. You've got 30 days to defend your title, as if Brock Lesnar didn't spend his summers as Universal Champion in the Hamptons or wherever the fuck Brock Lesnar goes to vacation. And just
Brock Lesnar said 30 business days, but he also had 20 PTO days that he could take whenever he wanted because they were floating holidays.
I got 6 weeks, bro. I got six weeks.
That's how that contract
is. 6 weeks, bro.
It's a good contract. I read it. It's fucking good.
That's great. So that was his PTO time, huh?
Correct. Yes, now you understand.
He had a that crude.
That was funny. That's great.
He had a crude said PTO.
That's funny.
Because he had all those, that time in that they floated over. He had rollover holidays and all this. It's a lot to go through. HR, it was hell. What can I say?
Drew, bottom line, get better, buddy. We miss you. You've been fantastic this past year.
Not an alcoholic. What the fuck? I told you about the net. Oh, you meant McIntyre. Okay, sorry. You keep doing that. I'm gonna mute myself.
Yeah, we should probably move on to topic two, but we can still squeak a show out. Yeah.
Oh, we could go to topic two. You just gotta do something for me first.
Who, me?
Well, Andrew already muted himself.
Because I'm laughing. I thought that was funny. That's just how it's like.
I'll play. I understand. We want Drew to get back because nobody, and I mean nobody, wants the new WWE champion to be Goldberg.
Gentlemen, we do have a touch of the Attitude Era hitting us here as probably one of the most major free agents since AEW's comeback is up. Whether it's actually going to happen, like whether it's actually something that's in the works of being thought about is to be questioned, certainly. That might be the first very most question is, is Jay Wright really thinking about leaving New Japan? And if so, what kind of career is he going to have in WWE? Is he going to be able to do what he needs to be able to do and things of that nature? Because honestly, right now, as I sit here, however many days we are into the speculation of Jay White leaving New Japan, I sit here and wonder if I would even enjoy Jay White in WWE, Andrew.
Why? Why do you question it?
I would enjoy him, like, wrestling-wise, but would he be able to... Would they give him the right storylines for him to thrive in WWE? I mean, would they put him right into NXT? Is he going to have to bear that burden for a while? Because the shelves are kind of empty down there as far as... I don't know. Maybe not as so much as with Gargano and other people still down there, but at the same time, I don't know. I'd rather see him main roster right away. What kind of storyline does he get put into? People have been known to have to earn it for a while in WWE. Granted, AJ Styles, but do you think he gets that kind of treatment?
I think he would, and it's because of who have I compared him to over the last couple years? You know, if we've all been on this show, I've compared him to Triple H how many times?
But what... I don't think he has
He's not a work rate guy.
He doesn't have
He's not a work rate guy. He's not a high flyer. He's not a flashy dude.
He doesn't have
His gimmick works so perfectly to transition directly to main roster and not have to go through NXT, especially because of the fact that he's established from a global perspective and the fact that you even said it yourself. This is one of the biggest free agent, quote unquote, splashes since AEW. You would immediately want to make him front and center, especially on something like Raw that's floundering a little bit. And he would do wonders because, like I said, he's not a work rate guy. He's a character guy. He has a Triple H mindset in the fact that he is meticulous and cerebral and he understands his character. It took him a little bit, but now he understands his character. And his moveset is very... Lots of people compared him to like a Bret Hart where he's got... like five or six really good moves that he can pull out of nowhere that look fucking good and they can transition through the match to actually make him look fantastic and make the match actually flow correctly. He wrestles a WWE style in New Japan already. So there is nothing they would have to do aside from teach him where the hard cam is. And the rest, he's fine. So if your question is where would he start, main roster is where he should start. And the first person he should go after would be Styles, if this was a thing. I still don't think it's really a free agency thing, and I think it's more of a kayfabe thing. But if we're playing in the pool that it's possible, he's going to go to Raw, like, as soon as they can.
So, first and foremost, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rick O'Shea,
sure.
Prince Devitt, a.k.a. Finn Bálor. These are all individuals that had worldwide notoriety, but they still came in.
You just mentioned three guys that can't talk.
I also mentioned three guys that had worldwide notoriety, and they all started down in NXT. I don't think Jay White would be any different. Now, I agree with you. I think this is all kayfabe, and he's going to end up being back in New Japan. Because, number one, New Japan's been very, very good to him. And they were able to get something out of him that I didn't even think he had in him. You know what I mean?
I agree. We were on the same page at first because we saw his ROH run where he was white meat baby face bullshit fucking Jay White against Punishment Martinez doing the New Zealand underdog undefeated for like 9 months bullshit. And he was boring and basic. So
More like white bread baby face. Jesus, I've seen corpses with more color. But... I don't want to see him go to WWE. Now, I know WWE is probably going to be able to offer him the most money out of anybody else just because that's the evil empire. And I say that with quotation marks. But I don't think WWE would know what to do with him. And we've seen this happen before, you know, with some of the guys, the aforementioned guys that I've mentioned. we've seen this type of thing happen before. I don't think he really fits WWE. There's nothing about him that makes me think he's going to come into WWE. You know what they would do if he went to WWE? His name is Jay White. They'd have him in a hot dog suit or some goofy shit like that. They team him up with Aleister Black. They'd be the Wrestling Who? Dalmatians.
Who?
Or some dumb shit like that. You know what I mean?
What's an Aleister Black?
That's true. We haven't seen him in how long? Like, I don't even know he exists anymore.
And if that happened, if Jay White signed with WWE tomorrow, in 2 years from now, we'd be doing Potter's War, preferably on a bigger platform and making some money doing that shit. By the way, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And we'd be saying the same thing. What's a Jay White? Yeah. I don't think they would know what to do with him.
Because
think about how long, and you're a New Japan stan. I'm a novice fan. But think about how long it took us to get behind Jay White. So you think Vince McMahon's going to take a look at that pasty melon farmer and say, let's shoot the rocket to his ass?
Yes. Because of the fact that it took him about 6 months to work on this Switchblade character. Because when he first came out against Tanahashi, he was still babyface, no beard, no nothing. He looked out of his depth. And, you know, we both agreed. He looked a little jokey, and Tanahashi beat his ass. Then Omega tried to bring him into Bullet Club, and then that was his first step towards the right thing, where he turned on Omega. Then he joined Chaos, and then he turned on Okada. And it was a slow progression, but he figured himself out. And it was very much the Triple H kind of mentality, the old Randy Orton mentality of just working your way up, being very methodical, very meticulous. And he talks, and that's the one argument I'll make to everybody you used as an example, because AJ Styles has never been able to talk. He was never known as a talker. He was known as a in-ring guy. He was a high fly. He was get ready to fly. Like, it was AJ Styles watch his matches. It was never listen to this promo. And Shinsuke Nakamura, unless you speak Japanese, it's not going to resonate the right way. And it took them a while for him to kind of dial into that no speak English kind of gimmick, which was, it was fire, don't get me wrong, but it took him a while to figure out how to make him charismatic and funny in English. Ricochet never could talk. I mean, you know, we know this before, we knew this after. That's why Prince Puma wore a mask and didn't really say much. And, you know, Aleister Black, the fuck, come on, like, does he just like recite Edgar Allan Poe fucking poems, and like he really doesn't say much beyond that? He doesn't talk. Kenta didn't talk. Anybody from international exposure, Finn Balor's not a great talker either. Like, he could easily get out talked by Dolph Ziggler. Like, everybody that we know from an international perspective doesn't do what Jay White does. Jay White is an anomaly from New Japan. He's not a work rate guy. He's not a high flyer. He's not a junior. He is a character that built himself up, went from young lion, went from jokey, you know, white meat, white bread, pasty ass motherfucker, to now he looks like a legitimate badass, and he's, you know, meticulous and breathes with a switchblade, and he proved that he had a plan, and he was like this orchestrator, this puppet master, and it was all starting to fall into place. And then when, you know, his house of cards finally fell apart, his whole, like, it just shattered his world, and he doesn't know how to pick himself back up. And it's gorgeous storytelling, it's gorgeous character work, and he's never been a work rate guy, which everybody else has been.
So theoretically speaking, because again, we both think that this is kayfabe and he's gonna stay in New Japan.
Yes.
Excuse me, but how old is Jay? What is he, about 27, 28?
I think he's 25, 26. But
oh, he's that young?
Yeah, he's not very old. I think he's a little younger than Ospreay, like just a touch.
Okay.
I'll double check when you talk.
That changes everything if that's the case. If he's mid-20s.
Yo, no, he's 28.
I was right. Yeah, so I was right about 28. Okay, so we're cutting kind of close because I understand, man. Everybody that gets into the wrestling industry, your dream is to headline WrestleMania. If your dream is not to main event WrestleMania, you're in the wrong industry. I think we can all agree upon that. That's, you know, that's the big money. That's the big notoriety, yada, 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 all of that stuff. Okay, you're 28. You could gamble the dice here, theoretically. Granted, AJ didn't come into the E till he was about, what, 36, 37, something like that. He still went on to have a great career. Honestly, Jay, I don't know how much of the news you pay attention to, but America, we're going through some things right now, man. So you might want to just lay back for a little bit. You got a good thing going in Japan. They obviously see money in you, and they've been doing right by you. You know, so stick it out for a little bit, at least another year, maybe a re-up for a year or two with a 6-month out clause or something like that until we get our shit together.
I think there's more shit going down over there right now than there is here. They just all did all some lockdowns and rearranged some shows out east, didn't they?
That's true, man.
There's
but
difference there's between there. Lockdown and what we're going through out here.
Exactly. You ain't get a bunch of weird ass redneck crackers trying to overthrow the Japanese government in the past couple of weeks, man.
Let me ask
Plus,
you guys
their
a question though.
Of an outbreak is like what we have day leave per state.
Okay, so let me ask you guys a question though. So he's 28. So in WWE terms, if you make sure you don't use up his bumps too quick, you could probably get good 8 years out of him, right?
8 to 10, sure.
That's kind of contract are you offering him to make him come over? If you're WWE and you really want him, like I'm thinking, shit, I'll give you eight year. You sign an 8-year contract right now, and you can make $25 million if everything goes right.
Oh, I'm not going that far. I'm thinking like 5 years, $500,000 a year. What's that? 2.5.
Oh, there's no way he's coming over for that.
A little more.
There's no way he's coming over for that.
It would have to, I agree with your five. I think five is the right number because five is also the number we heard that WWE is trying to float out there just to keep people away from AEW.
Exactly. And, but I mean,
so 5 years.
You think he's making over it.
5 years, he's got to be getting. He's got
to
be
to a quarter of a million, I would think.
He's got
to
be getting at least. He's got to get it.
I'm doubling his salary.
5 years, $10 million.
And to change everything and start again.
5 years, $10 million.
That was actually right where I was at with it. You have to order my.
With all due respect to Jay White, he's not getting $2 million a year.
That's why he ain't leaving. That's why he ain't leaving New Japan.
Yeah, he's not getting that. I don't think anybody's getting that right now.
I don't think. Well, yeah.
Oh, sure, there are. There's.
No. What I'm saying is, I don't think there are any free agents in the wrestling market.
Not from Vince. No, saying. I agree. I'm just saying what it would take.
Yeah, you're 28. You still got a couple of years. The world is still in flux right now. You got a good thing going in New Japan. Ride it out for 2 or 3 more years, man. Bet on yourself. Ride it out for a little bit. Let's see how everything's going to shake out here in the world. Not just the wrestling world, but just the world in general.
Plus, like I said, you know, after Wrestle Kingdom, I still think this is Jay White pulling the devil's greatest trick kind of concept because, like I told you, after Wrestle Kingdom, the fans clapped a little bit for him when he got in during the tag match, and they're aware that he's distraught and that he's not right.
So isn't the biggest thing, though, with Jay White as far as WWE is concerned that, in my, you know, WWE is the biggest wrestling company in the world. New Japan is probably the second biggest wrestling company in the world, right?
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. But at the same time, they don't really have a gigantic effect on each other's, like, bottom lines, right? So Jay White really is very unlikely to go to AEW or anywhere else in the States except for WWE. Therefore, WWE is not going to give him that kind of money because if he stays in New Japan, it doesn't really hurt WWE.
It doesn't hurt him. But with the... If you're willing to admit... Except some of the stories and narratives that are being thrown around from dirt sheets and, you know, the fact that everybody's kind of on, you know, figure it out, emergency meeting, kind of, you know, we have to right the ship, so to speak.
For
and,
WWE?
You know, throw all this shit at them. Correct, yes.
No,
if
there,
you're
I don't
willing
even
to accept some of the dirt sheets, I'm just playing the play space for a second.
We're pontificating.
Yeah,
that's
all.
What the fuck, man?
So if you're willing to
I can't
that,
pontificate that.
Then Jay would be a good puzzle piece to add to WWE to take pieces from AEW, or to take viewers from AEW, and to bring over some of the hardcore fans. So if you're willing to play in that space, which is why I prefaced it with all of that, then Jay is not so much because he threatens WWE's bottom line. It's because WWE sees him as a caveat towards better ratings and possibly getting a little more edge over the competition.
So here's the problem, gentlemen. I can't really buy into that, because my thinking is the only reason WWE would want Jay White to come in would be to go to NXT, and the main roster is what he's going to want. So it's not really going to happen, is it?
No, I completely 1,000% agree with what you just said. If he was going to come in to any roster and any brand in the E, it would be NXT. And frankly, I feel like that would be a step down for him at this particular point in time. You go from the top of the second biggest promotion in the world to the AAA of the biggest promotion in the world.
I see your point. I still think he would make it onto Raw. I think he'd get the NXT pass, the free pass, whatever you want to call it. And it's just, he's a different kind of cat. Like, you could make the argument that Nakamura was a champion and all this other stuff, but Nakamura only knew Japanese wrestling. He didn't know American wrestling. He didn't understand it that way. He couldn't even speak the language that well, really. So this is a lot easier. It's an easier transition for Jay. He's character-based. He's not ring-work-based. So I would say Raw. But again, I think we're still kind of all on the same page that it's kayfabe anyway. So this has been a fun merry-go-round of never going to happen, but it was fun to talk about.
No, it was. And Jay, I don't remember, I might be reiterating here because I drink a lot, but just to reiterate, if I haven't said it before, Jay, you got a really good thing going in New Japan right now. They're showing you a lot of love. They're strapped the rocket to you. We already said they've got something out of you that we didn't think that you had in you. Plus, America is going through some things right now. So it might behoove you, you're still young enough, you're about 28 years old, it might behoove you to just stick it out for another year or two, let the world work itself out, and then maybe in the next year or two, you survey the landscape and see what works best for you at that point in time.
That's good advice. I like that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen, let's stay in the Eastern Hemisphere and talk a little bit about Kota Ibushi calling once again to unify the Intercontinental Championship with the IWGP Championship. And another change in the belt, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good illusion, because that is probably the main thing that I can see why he's calling for this and pushing so hard for it, is because to go through the history, this is the fourth iteration of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. The first one, you know, it technically the first one was a tournament belt, then it became the official heavyweight belt in New Japan, then they changed it to the official second generation during Shinya Hashimoto's big 496-day reign in like 96, 97. Then when Brock Lesnar won the belt in 05 and they started branching off because they got rid of Inoki and he went to go make the Inoki Genome Federation, and then Brock dropped it to Angle, New Japan did not officially recognize it as the heavyweight title because it was IGF's title. So it was known as the third generation title. And it wasn't until 2007 when they decided to unify it to make the fourth generation belt, and then that's what we have now. And that brings us to, it's been 14 years, so we probably just need a new title, and this is an excuse. And I don't like it, but New Japan's got a bunch of titles. They could easily elevate the Never, or if they ever get the U.S. back, if they ever take it off of fucking John Moxley because he's never around, you know, they could elevate that. And it plays into Ibushi's whole story of who he sees as gods, because he reveres Shinsuke Nakamura as a god and Hiroshi Tanahashi as a god. And Tanahashi's got the most reigns with the IWGP heavyweight title, and Nakamura is synonymous with the Intercontinental. Like, he elevated that to being the 1B instead of just the mid-card title. So it makes sense. I don't agree with him that the prestige would go up, but if it's something they want to do, there's worse ideas, right, Chris?
Well, so correct me if I'm wrong here, and I know that you will, because I was under the impression that the IC title came into existence when MVP decided to go over and decide he wanted to go wrestle in New Japan. And, you know, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was the inaugural IC champion, and that was the only reason that that belt even existed.
You're correct that he won the inaugural tournament for the belt, but at that point, it was seen as the mid-card title. It was seen as the secondary one, because there was no U.S. title. There was no Never. There was no never six-man. It was really just the junior stuff, the tags, and then IWGP. So the Intercontinental was their first foray into a mid-card belt. And, you know, funny what a decade changes, you know what I mean? But so MVP, you are correct that he was the first, but Nakamura elevated it, and everything he did with that title, the way he traveled around to different countries, the way he fought with it, the way he defended it, and the fact that he main evented Wrestle Kingdom 8 against Tanahashi with it, that brings it up in people's eyes, and that it was like Nakamura. It was like Nakamura's baby, but MVP was still the first one.
All right, fair enough. I feel like I say this every few weeks on this show, but I wish that titles don't mean shit in professional wrestling anymore, and I wish they did. And just from a booking aspect, and obviously I've never booked, I'm not a booker, but it just seems to me that if there was a way to make the title seem more prestigious, it would benefit every company. Because number one, you wouldn't have to have everybody on every single show. And theoretically, you should be able to headline any pay-per-view with any title. And I don't know how to get back to that point. Yeah, I don't even know if we could get back to that point where every title has a certain level of prestige. Perhaps we've taken the cotton out the aspirin bottle and there's no way to put it back in at this particular point in time.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Because with the way that people consume wrestling nowadays, everything is everywhere. You have to, you know, WWE, AEW, it's constant weekly episodic television. It's, what, 4 or 5 hours a week, at least for AEW, and even more for WWE. I think that's part of the allure to Japanese wrestling, is that because it's not a weekly episodic television show and it's not storyline driven in that same soap opera respect, there's still a lot of perceived prestige on all of these belts, because you only see it during a big event. You only see it when they're making it a big thing, or when it's on a pretty good wrestler, or somebody you like, or somebody they're pushing, or something like that. So there
is it, though? I feel like the product is getting more and more westernized. And the thing is, that's what I liked about New Japan, was that it wasn't westernized. And now I feel like Ghetto is taking it towards a more western turn. And they, you know, on the West, we blew through all our great storylines 20 years ago. And now everybody's kind of grasping for straws. Now they're going around, running around, setting melon farmers on fire and shit. That's where we at.
the irony in that is the fact that once New Japan kind of hit their boom, in like 2015, 2016, what, somewhere around there, whatever that was the argument and the criticism was that it was very Western, because Ghetto has been in interviews, on record, whatever you want to say, talking about his enjoyment of 60s, 70s, 80s territory booking and stuff like that. And you see it. You don't see the Japanese pageantry, in a sense, because you don't see the girls bringing out flowers to the competitors. You don't see the pre-match, you know, reading of the International Wrestling Grand Prix, like, council authority figure that's there to sanction the match, because they used to go through that old school NWA stuff, because that's where Japanese wrestling comes from. So, like, very, very old school with the funks and stuff like that. So they had somebody come out that was supposed to be representative sanctioning the match, and they'd go through this big pomp and circumstance, and everybody would get flowers or like a kiss or something like that, and there'd be a picture, and then we'd go into the thing. When was the last time they really did that in New Japan?
Yo, you brought up flowers and you brought up pomp and circumstance and pageantry. So I'm throwing this out there in the universe, hoping somebody praying, because hopes of suckers, praying somebody latches onto this idea and keeps it moving and takes off with it. The first wrestler that comes out on the Come Into America side of the game, where you have the flower girls and they're dropping the rose petals in front of you and you walk to the ring on the rose petals, maybe even with the African drums behind you. The first wrestler that does that, they're going to be my favorite wrestler in the world. Period. Period, as they say. Make it happen, universe. Make it happen. Can you imagine? How cool is that? Come on, and you got the rose petal girls throwing the roses at your feet, and you're walking on roses to the ring. Wrong black guy, Tony, but thank you. Wrong black guy, wrong movie, but thanks for playing, sir. What were you going
to
say?
What company do you think would be able to pull that off without it just looking racist? yeah, see, there we go. Come on, work with me here.
what's that territory that Master P bought up in New York?
Holy fuck, we're not doing that. No.
You asked, man.
Oh, was that House of Glory? Is House of Glory the one that he bought?
Yes, I think that was it. Yes.
I don't I haven't seen that in so long. But well, I think it was House of Glory.
Been a whole goddamn pandemic out in these streets, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't heard shit about it because that was where Amazing Red wrestled before he retired twice and then came back for the Super J Cup last year and then he retired again. I don't even know what his status is technically. But yeah, I think that was House of Glory. Wow.
I thought it was
that hurt my head just remembering that.
I thought it was Hootie Hoo CW.
That was funny.
Wow. That was
good. You have redeemed yourself, sir. You have been redeemed. But yeah, okay, get rid of the IC belt. Maybe it's time for a new iteration of the heavyweight belt. Okay, cool, whatever. Wrestling companies, let's try to find a way to make your titles more prestigious, because I promise you it's going to make your jobs a lot easier if we can get back there. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe we can't. I just feel like it would make the whole thing a little easier. I mean, look at it, man. We got a fight coming up, what, next week in the UFC. Conor McGregor, he's whatever weight he is. That Melon Farmer can't weigh more than a buck 50 or whatever the case may be. I don't even think it's for a title, although they're trying to make it for a title because I think Masvidal. Not Masvidal. The Melon Farmer that beat Conor's ass last time they fought and then his guys jumped in the ring and tried to jump Conor. What's his name? The Russian brother. What is his name? Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, but I was
just going to sit here and let me flounder, huh? Yes, fuck you, Zach.
It's more fun just to, you know, have you just come up with some weird shit.
It's not Masvidal, right?
No, I don't think it.
Okay, so it's fucking Khabib.
Yes, correct.
Bob.
All of the in you now. Please say his last name too.
Do you want me? That's how I was gonna prove that I knew, because I was just gonna say his last name. But go ahead, Chris, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, so Khabib is getting ready. He's saying that he's gonna retire. He's done with UFC. So
Nurmagomedov.
God bless you. So they're trying to say that the next fight that Conor's gonna fight in a week or two.
You're close.
I am.
We're done here. I don't even remember what the hell I was trying to say, man.
You said Khabib, Khabib, you know, Hassan Pfeffer Incorporated. What were we going with that?
Oh, Shamil, Shamazzle, or as they used to call it back in the day, scissoring.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Nurmagomedov.
God bless you.
Correct. Okay.
You just got to probably get that checked out, man, if you got a Nurmagomedov.
Well,
that sounds like, you know.
Speaking of things that are hard to kill. Let's talk about
Impact. Man, that bro, give me Nurmagomedov, man.
Let's talk about.
Oh shit, you gonna be alright?
Yeah, dude.
You need a shampoo for that?
It's like, brother. You know it's like, yeah, brother. I had to clap 7 times back in the 60s. They called it a standing ovation. So, speaking of hard to kill at Impact Wrestling,
they called it a leaky faucet.
Oh, I put a Lambo on my wrist. I put a Lambo on my wrist. Drip, drip, drip. On my wrist. Drip, drip, drip. How about that? Huh?
Yeah, that's one way.
To put it. We were talking about white girls again.
We're just talking about dripping. We're just talking about dripping. I thought. 3 title matches.
Just don't ask me how I know.
3 title matches at Hard to Kill, highlighted by Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers taking on none other than Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. Gentlemen, can you see these nipples? Are you all excited?
Captain Caveman, what are you talking about here, sir? Captain Caveman! That's how you sound right now.
Wow. Why don't you run down the card?
No. Please continue.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
What, you pulling your dick out on the table on me, sir? Is that what that was?
No. He just did. He just big dicked in the locker room to you right there. He's just like,
hey, he's like, oh, excuse me. Excuse me? And it's cold? Did you have something to say?
Hey, Miz, you can change in the hallway. Hey, Andrew. Mr. Impact himself, right there on thechairshot.com. What are your thoughts on the Hard to Kill pay-per-view, considering Chris has no interest in the pay-per-view, just ripping on me?
No, Chris probably has a decent amount of interest in the pay-per-view.
Oh, but I think he's more interested in ripping on me, though.
I mean, okay, let
me be true simultaneously.
Yes, I knew it.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Oh.
Speaking of 2 things being true simultaneously, I think low-key we're all very, very excited for the first match that always sticks out to me, and that's Ethan Page versus the Karate Man. This is going to be a marvelous, cinematic, fucking idiocracy of just, I don't know what to expect. Ethan Page is entertaining, and he's fucking great. Like, following his Twitter is a wonderful thing. But the fact that he's taking it to that next level where he's fighting himself just to prove that Ethan Page is not the Karate Man, it's so psychotic. It sounds amazing. What do you think?
That's great, but let's get to my girls. And you know what I'm talking about. Let's get to my girls.
I wanted more talk about the Karate Man.
I wanted to talk about that too.
Okay, fine. No. Let's talk about the Karate Man.
Okay, wait. That's enough. No.
No. Mel Farmer going by itself.
Much.
It's going to sound entertaining. It's going to give Jim Cornette a massive coronary. But I could see how that can be entertaining.
Go ahead. Say it. Say it, Tony. You want to say it? Do it.
This is way too much Karate Man talk.
No. All right, so
fuck, you wanted Jim to talk Cornette
about your girls, right? So I know you're really excited for the Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie match, right, for the Knockouts Championship. That's what you're looking forward to. It's that match, because you know you love bitches from New Jersey. That's what it is, right?
No.
It's not that one. No, legit, though, how do you think that match is going to be?
No. 1,000 times no.
Stop with your 1,000 times no. Because Deonna's good and she is fantastic. So that's probably going to be a good match, right?
I love Taya. And I think that you should put the belt back on her. I don't think they will because, you know, Deonna is their hot new toy that they're playing with right now. But I love Taya.
I know who he's getting. Well, that one's my favorite. He likes the other one of that tag team.
Yeah.
So we could tag team the tag team is what you're saying.
I'm not saying any of that. I'm in a committed relationship. I love my woman. Right, and
remember, I said this. Chris did not. So it's my fault. I just ran with the thought.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am a one-woman man, sir. And fuck you for suggesting otherwise.
Okay, so since we're on that, we'll talk about what we want to talk about.
You're on that.
I wish I was, but anyway.
But yeah, Ty's win that. Deonna is gonna win that, but it does have the opportunity to be a really fun match because I love me some Ty. I think she's really talented in the ring, and she's got a real unique look. She's like a more attractive Nicole Bass, or a more attractive Lila Rashawn. Not Lila Rashawn. Jesus Christ. Luna Vachon.
Can I ask a question? Are there less attractive Nicole Basses?
Yes, they're called Diamond Dallas Page and T.L. Hopper.
I think we have
I can't say that, man, because she transitioned. I shouldn't say that. My apologies to Nicole Bass and her family, man.
We can't use that as a title, then? That was a great title. I think she would have liked it.
more attractive Nicole Bass.
Oh, I was asking if they're less attractive.
Yeah. I brought up DDP and TL Hopper, but now I feel bad because I forgot she transitioned, man. I feel bad. Thanks a lot.
Let's be serious.
I think
gorgeous woman, alternative haircut or not, and is like she had her own weight struggles with like a thyroid issue or whatever, but like she really looks good. She's like the thickness in all the right spots. She's a great wrestler on top of it, and you know I'm a little jealous of good old Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, not gonna lie, because Taya is definitely a dime piece, and I think she's just not winning because I don't think she's staying in Impact much longer because I think her contract is up. And
so do you think she's joining her husband in the E? Is that what you're alluding to?
Yes, NXT probably, because her name doesn't carry like Morrison, but
yeah, well, a lot of good his name did him, right?
I mean, he's still like in pretty higher enough card matches.
Ooh, Morrison
on TV.
Morrison's in a great spot. Are you kidding me? He's on TV every single week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. If that's our metric, that's fair. Okay, well, you're right. I mean, he is on TV every single week.
I mean, that makes him relevant if he's on
TV. Both of y'all are right, man. I'm not going to argue that.
So not only is he on TV every week, he's on Fox every week. So he's on network television every single week.
He's on USA every week. They switch brands, sir. So
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
Thanks for playing.
He was
on Fox. And then, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I'm out. God damn it.
It's fine.
You were doing
screw you guys. Screw you guys in this recording schedule, okay? Screw you guys.
All right. So, okay, we'll get to the match that you want to talk about. And that's Havoc and Nevaeh versus Fire and Flavor. You know, Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz, who, if you haven't followed the show at all, ever, and this is your first show, yeah, Kira's my girl, but, you know, a very big fan of the Boricua badass, Tasha Steelz.
Don't they have to win
this? Chris, would you say Tasha Steelz your heart?
No, I would not say that because I'm in a committed relationship and fuck you very much, Tundy. But don't you think that they have to win this match just the push that they've gotten in Impact the last, 6 months since they've come together? Isn't this a perfect slot for them at this particular point in time? Don't you think?
Yeah, I just feel the slot this morning.
What the hell did you just say?
What?
I don't know. That's like Mushmouth Dusty Rhodes right there. Like Dusty when he had to
Leon Phelps. Mushmouth Leon.
Shout out to the ladies, man. Yeah, that sounds good. I just feel the flat this morning.
Okay. So, I mean, it kind of is. Yeah. in the same respect, though, like, what are they going to do to beat Havoc and Nevaeh? Because Nevaeh and Havoc outsize them a lot. And Tasha and Kira are kind of the really talkative, you know, cocky heels.
Yappy
who,
chihuahuas.
Yeah, talk. Well, yeah, and that's exactly what Taya called them a couple weeks ago at some point. But, like, that's kind of their gimmick, is that they're little, but they're feisty, and they don't ever shut up. So they talk shit constantly, but, you know, they back it up more or less. They're fun. They're good-looking. Like, they're decent in the ring. How do you beat Nevaeh, who is, you know, the normal of the two, but she's still a taller woman, and then Havoc is a fucking beast of a woman in a nice way? Like, I'm not saying that negatively, but, like, compared to the rest of the Knockouts, she's like the new Awesome Kong, in a sense, for perspective reasons. So how do we do this? Do we, like, try to just beat the shit out of Havoc before the match starts and just double team Nevaeh?
That's not for me to answer, man. That's what Don Callis get paid
how
for.
How do you see them winning if they have to win? How do you see them actually winning? Because I feel like this is going to be Havoc and Nevaeh winning, and then you're just going to have them chasing because they're entertaining with or without a belt, Tasha and Kira. So they don't need a belt to stay fun. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's fair.
Havoc,
but let me ask,
they kind of need the belt to be relevant.
Okay, that's fair, but let me ask you this, because number one, we don't have a crowd, and we haven't had a crowd for some time in Impact. They come across as faces to me, but I'm biased for obvious reasons. Are they supposed to be faces, or are they supposed to be heels?
I'm pretty sure Tasha and Kira are supposed to be heels, because they talk shit, they help each other, they win via chicken shit, you know, heel kind of dynamic. They're just very charismatic and very fun, and they're hard to hate kind of heels, because they're both very good looking and they're entertaining on the mic, so it's a hard sell to make me hate them, you know what I mean?
So that's how they win. If they're supposed to be the heels, they'll do some heel shit. Heels always find a way.
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't sure if you, like, you know, invented this playlist answer in your head so that you're is how they win.
Not at all, and I'm clearly showing my bias here, but yeah, I have no idea. And like I said, I didn't even realize they were heels. They're faces in my book, but, you know, according to certain chair shop members, I'm a heel, so, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, I think we all fall into that category at some point. We're all tweeners. It just depends on the podcast we go on if we're heel
pretty
or face.
Much. Yeah, pretty much. And who we piss off what week.
Exactly. Yeah. So, big match that got announced on Impact was Barbed Wire Massacre between Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards. So, ideally, this will end their feud that kind of started a couple years ago when Sami took out his eye with the baseball bat. It probably won't, because this is Impact and they're one of the few that are actually kind of dialed in and staying constant talent, so we'll probably revisit this a little later. But if this had to put a pin in it for a little bit, where do you see it going?
That baseball shot was the best thing that ever happened to Sami Callihan, because it put him over as a legitimate badass heel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which, it's kind of hard for him to be a badass heel because he's shaped like a warlock.
Troll.
What is
a
the
warlock's not an animal anyway. Troll.
Troll.
A walrus?
No, not a walrus. A fucking not a woodchuck, but something in that family. A fucking
like
a
sloth.
Gopher.
Sloth.
It's in that family. We're in the family. Keep going. We're in that family.
Hippopotamus.
It begins with a W.
Woodchuck. Whale.
Not a
woodchuck.
Okay, go woodchuck. Maybe I was thinking Wolverine. I don't remember. It's a W animal I'm not thinking of. But that reminds me of Sami Callihan. But he's good on the mic.
Can I ask you guys a question?
He's clearly not a wallaby, sir. What is vicious about a wallaby, okay?
Do you see
they're comfortable.
I like Rocko's Modern Life, didn't you?
Do you see any John Moxley, Sami Callihan interaction?
Are you calling for a switchblade conspiracy on Hard to Kill? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't care about this match, man. Let's get to the main event. I think Callahan.
No, you don't want to. Andrew, you're not. I mean, Chris blew it off. Andrew, you're not interested in that at all. I mean, there's history.
I see him interfering for Callahan, but I see him interfering in the main event if he interferes.
How about vice versa down the road?
I mean, to be fair though, they're both from Ohio, so maybe we could play that up.
No, they have a ton of history.
Former tag team CCW, the Switchblade Conspiracy, which is why I made that joke earlier. But yeah, I mean, they will get involved with one another. But if anybody gets involved, if Moxley gets involved with anyone, it's going to be the main event, and I can't really see it going any other way. So you don't want to talk about the X Division match?
Fine, let's talk about the X Division.
You could say no. Even Rohit Raju is like doing great work in Impact. I don't know how much of it you've seen.
He says no, but he really means yes.
He's the old school foreign heel.
You guys didn't get that one?
Kind of,
You didn't get that reference?
No, I didn't.
Hey, Tony, how about you do this? How about you mute your microphone and then you talk?
Man, I gotta tell you something. That was probably the worst way to approach that.
Yeah, probably.
But it was the funniest way I could think of it.
So TJP under the manic hood again with the triple threat against
Chris Bay. He sure caught a lot of shit lately, hasn't he?
Every time he opens his mouth, it's not exactly the smartest words ever. Yeah. I mean, I think a couple months ago he talked about, you know, he's never learned anything in a ring before with somebody else. Like, he's always been the best person in the ring. And he shared rings with, like, Liger and a bunch of other people. And he just doesn't learn. So what's that say about him?
That says that WWE missed the boat with him. They tried to turn him into this white meat babyface, and he came across corny as hell, and it didn't work for the launch of 205. He's a natural heel. They should have steered into the skid. He's a natural heel. Rock with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. And he's got one of those punchable faces anyway.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's under a mask. At least it makes him marginally less punchable.
Yeah, that's fair. But shout out to Chris Bay. You know I love Chris Bay, so.
That's really the only reason I wanted to bring it up, because I know you got love for Bay and you were happy that he got his main event match a little bit ago.
Yeah. So. That was the last Impact I watched, I believe. That was the tag team match with Bay and Willie Mack versus Moose, and who was Moose's partner? I don't remember. Oh, was it Rich Homie Swan?
No, they wouldn't have been tagging together.
Or do I have that mixed up? Was it Willie Mack and Rich Homie Swan versus Chris Bay and Moose?
Correct.
The four of them were involved in some iteration. It was a tag team match.
Willie and Rich are like best friends in Impact. So if anybody was tagging, it would be those two together against others.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. So that's good. And fine, we'll get to the main event. Fine. So it's Good Brothers and Omega against Motor City Machine Guns and Rich Homie Swan. Where do you see this going?
So I've been hearing these thoughts floating out there in the IWC that Omega is going to clean up and just win every non-WWE-related major title. Obviously, that's not going to happen in this match, but do you see something like that happening? Like, he ends up winning the Impact title, maybe he goes and wins the MLW title, and maybe they can kind of patch up the things with New Japan, and he wins that title. Do you see that storyline playing out? I hope not. Because I'm just not here. What the fuck happened to Omega? Or is he just not shit in if he doesn't have a Japanese dance partner? Is that what it is?
Point. You hit it right out of the park. Yeah. Omega's shtick is hokey. It's corny. But it worked in Japan because their sense of humor is different. So when he would do the Kenny Olivier things that Cornette hates, and, you know, it was flashy moves and poses, it would get a reaction that was positive from the fans, and they were entertained, and that's kind of what they care about, because it's a real sport to them, but it's also entertainment. So they were sports and entertaining. Stop it, goddammit. Damn it, honey. What the fuck was I even talking about? Oh, yeah. Omega. I mean, how many Omega matches has anybody really talked about outside of Japan? Let's just nip it in the bud right there. Like his DDT stuff. Everybody wants to talk about that after he got relevant in New Japan. When were people blowing that before?
Touche, touche. And it's funny because, again, we're recording this on a Wednesday evening, and I was perusing social media, i.e. Twitter, just for a hot second this afternoon, and I saw somebody had put a tweet out talking about who has more drip than Kenny Omega right now. And by drip, they meant, you know, swag or whatever, like he's doing the damn thing. And I'm looking like, yo, the only way this Melon Farmer got a drip, and a callback to earlier in the episode, the only way this Melon Farmer got a drip is if he went to one of them Japanese bathhouses and now it burns when he pees. That's the only way this Melon Farmer is going to have any sort of drip whatsoever. Like, he's corny. He's lame. I thought he was a great wrestler, but again, apparently if he doesn't have a Japanese dance partner, that's debatable. It just is what it is. And I understand why they put the belt on him, because he did have some cachet, but the dude is lame, man. If it wasn't for Don Callis, man, I'd basically say fuck that dude.
The entertaining part, in a sense, and I don't even mean from his character, I mean more from the reaction of the IWC, is people think he's a draw, when it's more he has a very loyal fan base, and that fan base is willing to move. That fan base is willing to migrate. So the 800,000 views that, you know, AEW gets, he'll bring them to AEW, to Impact, because that's kind of who wants to see him and who wants to see AEW stuff. So it's just, it's moving the same pieces around to make it seem like there's more. It's not really a draw when you're just pulling on the same 700, 800,000 people to just watch different things. It's good for him in a way, because it keeps him relevant and it makes the number go up, and it does help Impact, so it does help his, I don't know, it helps the look that he's giving to everybody, so it makes him seem like a bigger deal than he actually is. But yeah, Kenny Omega is decent. I'll say that. He had some good matches when he was a junior in All Japan. He did some decent matches in DDT. Everybody wants to talk about how PWG is the best wrestling, but nobody talks about that outside of fucking California, because nobody wants to fucking watch that. Nobody wants to fucking watch a Royal Rumble match or whatever the fuck it is. Everybody shoves their thumb up one another's ass. That's not fucking funny. It's fucking stupid. And I don't give a fuck about Bola. So fuck that thing. Anyway, not the point. The point I'm getting at, though, is just, he's decent. The match will be decent. I think this is just an avenue to get one of the guns, to pin one of the Good Brothers to legitimize their claim for the tag team titles, since the Good Brothers won it in a four-way after Shelley got hurt. So it's just to add heat there. Maybe Omega and Swan get a match. Maybe Moxley interferes and it leads to a rematch with Moxley and Omega for whatever reason. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm hoping this is not much longer. Especially because every time there's AEW involvement in Impact, they're always running them down. They're always making them seem inferior, or that their channel is lesser, or that they're just stupid. And it's like, it's too much at a certain point, you know?
No, I feel that. And overall, I think it has the opportunity to be a entertaining match. Overall, this card, up and down the card, it looks like it could be an entertaining card. The only thing that it has against it is that it's going up against NFL playoff football, so good luck with that. And my last note before we move on is shout out to Don Callis, because this collaboration, I don't know how much it helps AEW, but it sure as hell helps Impact. So shout out to Don Callis for brokering this whole shit.
True.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to give you an option. You can go with already established topic number 5, or you can talk about the James Harden trade. Your call.
Andrew, do you really have any thoughts about the James Harden trade?
I'm aware of what happened. I'm aware that James Harden was you know, traded to the Nets for, like, I don't know, like, half of their soul, their first four-born children, like, and then they traded through the Pacers, and Oladipo went somewhere, and then it's like, convoluted, like, long division, and then there was a trade, and then somebody's on a different team, and somebody's not going to have, you know, I guess, draft picks for the next, like, 27 years. I don't know.
You literally described every trade of the last 50 years. What are you even saying right
Which
now?
Which is why I like football and why I like fucking hockey, because it's like, yo, you want this guy? Give me that guy and maybe a pick. All right, we're good. It's not like I will trade you this 4th, 3rd, 7th, 8th, a conditional 19th, a 48th, 7th. 2 years from now, I want to give you a second, a conditional thing, a compensatory 7th. Give me $4 million and I want the Browns' left kicker. What? Well, okay, we'll do that. That's fine. That's what a fucking basketball trade looks like. And I'm like,
you could have the Browns left kicker. That Melo Farmer sucks.
But still, like, does it look good for the Nets? Yeah, does it look good though? Stop it. Does it look good for the Nets? Yes, I'm happy for the Nets, because when they got Kyrie, when they got Durant, when Durant was injured, you were telling they were building something for now and not necessarily for the future, even though Durant and Kyrie aren't exactly old. But when you bring in people like that, you need to put stars around them. You need to try to make a team that's competitive. And Harden will do that. Harden and Durant got good chemistry. They've got history. It should work itself out. Kyrie, if his head's on his shoulders, he's a good player too. So, like, 2-3 superstars, that'll be a team to contend with. So, good for the Nets.
So, I'm on record of saying that I think it could work basketball-wise, the three of them together. It's ironic because these are three guys in the league that nobody else likes other than each other. And I don't even know if Harden and Kyrie are friends, but I know Harden...
I don't know if anybody likes Kyrie. Like, I know Durant and Harden are cool.
Yeah, and Durant and Kyrie are cool as well, because they made an option, because Kyrie wanted to go to the Knicks and Harden was the one that suggested the Nets, and that's how they were able to land both of them, because they're friends. I have no idea what's going on with Kyrie right now, so I'm not going to speculate on that. From a basketball standpoint, I really think this could work on offense, because Durant is so efficient, man. He can get you 30 points off 10 shots, 10, 12 shots. He doesn't need that much. And every now and again, you just got to throw the ball to Kyrie and just let him go and do his thing. That's how LeBron made it work in Cleveland, and that's how they got to, what, three consecutive NBA finals and brought Cleveland a championship. Defensively, that's going to be a little rough, because neither Kyrie nor James are known for their defensive prowess, and that's putting it lightly. Ego-wise, ego-wise and personality-wise, Steve Nash, that man got his work cut out for him. I don't know if I think it could work, but it's gonna take some understanding. So somebody's gonna have to be an adult in the room, and it's gonna have to be Nash, because he's the coach. So I'm interested to see how that works out, and I'm interested to see when Kyrie gets back, but. This is fascinating on a lot of levels, because James has obviously wanted to get out of Houston, and he did everything he could to make sure he got out of Houston, and it worked out for him. So we'll see what happens. PC, as a Bucks fan, man, on a scale of 1 to whatever, how worried are you about this triumphant?
Closer to 1 than whatever.
And I'm looking at the Cavs, because they're in this shit too, man. And we'll get back to what you said, but they gave up their first-round pick next year, so they just think they're going to be in the playoffs this year, because if you don't do that, you don't make that trade if you don't think you're going to be a playoff team this year, because why would you give up a lottery pick? And Dan Gilbert, sell the fucking team, man. Sell the fucking team. But so you're not worried about the Nets at all being your team is in the East, Tony?
No.
Okay. Well.
Okay, so word. Okay, since that didn't really go anywhere, how do you think this is going to work out for the Rockets? Because they got like a whole bushel of picks and God knows what. Because I haven't even parsed through all of it, because it happened shortly before we started recording, and I like to drink instead of read before we record, so I didn't do a lot of reading. So like, do you think this is going to work out?
You should try drinking and reading, man. It's very good.
I read the back of the bottle. Does that count, or is this a can?
Not that fucking bottle. God damn. That's just going to say battery acid and low self-esteem. Those are the ingredients.
Okay, well, I can check half of those boxes at least, so that's good.
I got to be honest. I feel as if the Rockets, they did probably the best that they possibly could have done out of this situation. Number one, they were able to get rid of Russell Westbrook, and they got John Wall back. Granted, you know, he's been off injured the last couple of years, but if you can get him healthy, that's a top-tier point guard. And James Harden had a short list of teams that he wanted to go to. Mainly, he wanted to go to Brooklyn. And not only were they able to get Victor Oladipo in the trade, who is who's been a perennial all-star the last couple of years, they've got a hell of a lot of picks left. Or they got a hell of a lot of picks out of the deal. So I think this is probably the best they could have hoped for. All things being considered, I think they did well. I can't really fault them for this. They got an all-star in return. They got a boatload of picks from some shitty teams. So I think they did well. So now we've got a backcourt of John Wall and Oladipo. Now you're asking a lot for them to be healthy. But again, man, you're hoping some of those picks pan out as well. But this is the best that they possibly could have hoped for. And I know I keep saying it, but I just want to reiterate it. I don't know what else they really could have done. Like, Harden kind of forced their hand here. And I don't know how better they could have done with their haul. I think they did. They probably came out better than anybody. You know, assuming that Brooklyn doesn't win the title, I think the Rockets probably come out this whole deal better than anybody else. Just on paper.
Yeah, No, I get that, and that makes a lot of sense because you understand those convoluted trades well, much more than I do, because I'm just not used to looking at, like, you know, calculus to figure out who gets what half the time. Since NBA is one of my more peripheral sports, because if the Bulls haven't been good since the 90s, so I haven't really had a huge reason to care. Yes, they had a couple spurts with Noah and Rose. Let's not talk about that. But generally speaking, they haven't been good in about, you know, 25 years. Nah, a little less than that. But anyway, I've been drinking. Math is hard. Klay Thompson, what's the deal with him? Because I see, like, the Warriors are doing all right, and then I know he was injured the previous season because he got injured in the championship game. Is he still rehabbing, or what's up with that? Because I don't keep my pulse on a lot of the NBA stuff, as you can see.
He re-injured himself. And Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he hurt the other leg this time, wasn't it? Okay, Tony doesn't know, but he re-injured himself during rehab, so I'd be shocked if he came back this year.
Oh, to be fuck.
Honest. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all bad on that front, yeah.
Oh, I got you, because I was seeing some of the stuff where, like, Curry put up like 60 points, and he was actually kind of going off a little bit this beginning of the year, and they're still like a 500 team right now. And then I kind of searched through a couple of things. I'm like, why isn't Thompson back? Like, I wasn't really up on the injury during rehab, so I didn't know he wasn't slated to be back this year. Okay, that's good, because I figured the Warriors would have been a threat this year because they would have had most of their good pieces back.
And I think they'll make the playoffs this year. Curry is starting to round himself back into shape. They still have Draymond Green, and they drafted a young brother by the name of James Wiseman. He's about, I think he's 7 foot, you know, five skilled player. But, you know, it's funny, man, these rookies coming into the league, man, with the exception of LaMelo Ball, who's been overseas playing, and he's been balling out this year so far. You know, these guys, they were put in a weird position because, I mean, shit, man, when's the last time that college basketball was played? What, March? And then Wiseman, he went to Memphis, and then there was a lot of goofy shit that went on with his regarding his eligibility in Memphis. So he only played, like, maybe two or three games last season. But he was widely considered the top prospect coming out of high school that last year. So his freshman year got cut short after, like, two or three games in Memphis. So this Melon Farmer hasn't played organized basketball in over a year. So, you know, he's got to get his sea legs under him, and he's got to adjust to the NBA schedule and the NBA, you know, the NBA game. So he's got an opportunity to be a special player, and I still think he has an opportunity to be an impact player this season. It's just going to take him a while to get his sea legs up under him. I think when it is all said and done, Golden State will probably be fighting for that, seventh, eighth seed in the playoffs.
Let's compare and contrast a little, since we are going to be talking about it when we do our thing on Saturday. And, you know, there's a bunch of talk that goes when you get to a bye week or resting things. Do you think that's going to help Wiseman at all? The fact that he wasn't playing, or is it really just a rhythm thing with basketball? Because the hardwood floor, all that, that does put pressure on the legs, puts a lot of impact on the legs. So do you think any of that downtime is going to help him in the long run once he gets in rhythm this year in maybe, say, 10, 15 more games, something like that?
Hard will be fine because he got what he wanted. He wanted to go to Brooklyn, so he's probably going to mess around and lose about 10, 15 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if he shaved the beard down a little bit, cut the hair, you know, new team, new me side of the game. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to be motivated and want to prove that he's still, you know, a top five player in this league. So I don't worry about Harden at all. I worry about Kyrie because I don't know where he's at mentally. I don't know where his headspace is at. I don't worry about Harden. I don't worry about Durant. Kyrie seems to be kind of the wild card here.
What about the young guys like Wiseman and LaMelo, like you were talking, where they still had a lot of time off?
I don't know why you said Wiseman, and I thought you said Harden. I apologize. It's going to take some time for Wiseman because, I mean, it's weird. It's hard. You haven't played organized basketball in over a year, and then you find yourself at the highest level of organized basketball. So it's going to take you a while to get acclimated. LaMelo, he's come out early and he's been balling, and, but he's been overseas for the past couple of years, though, playing against grown-ass men.
Oh, yeah, so I remember that part.
Yeah, so he understands what it's like to be a professional. So he's coming into this league. He's kind of got a head up, you know, over all these other rookies. So I don't worry about him at all. But
so
you don't think
the time off is going to help you? They're going to actually hurt because of rhythm and just getting used to everything, getting used to schemes and playing again?
Yes. Because as much basketball as you play, you can play pickup and whatnot, man. There's no substitute for organized basketball, especially at the highest level. And you're trying to figure all of that out. So, yeah, that's going to take some time.
Cool.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about basketball or hockey or whatever, man?
Before we get I'm good. I'm good. Like, you know, this is nice to change it up a little bit. But I think we've gone on a little bit long enough. So let's call it a night here. So, Mr. Platt, where can the good people find you?
Hey, you guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. But more importantly than that, make sure you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. I say it day in and day out, but if you appreciate the content that we provide day in and day out here at The Chair Shot, the best way to make sure we keep providing that content is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and showing a little love to your favorite website. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. TheChairShot.com. We're not just a website. We're a movement. Mr. Belaz, where can they find you, sir?
You find me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief and on thechairshot.com covering Impact. I'll be covering Hard to Kill, New Japan shows, probably not the Road Twos, but definitely the New Beginning stuff at the end of the month, and a lot of just non-AEW, non-WWE. I like the more obscure stuff. What can I say?
You don't say. Mr. Tunney, where can everybody find you?
You can find me tomorrow morning on Chairshot Radio and at PC Tunney.
Well, there you go. Hey, folks. I know it's a lot going on right now in the world. God damn. Enjoy Hard to Kill this weekend. Enjoy, I can't say wild card. Enjoy NFL playoffs this weekend. If you get a chance, watch some basketball. I think hockey's going to be back in a minute. Just find something that brings you joy. Shit. That's all I'm trying to say. Just find some joy in your life, okay? For the Commissioner PC Tunney, for Mr. Andrew Belaz, I am Mr. Velvet Pies Christopher Platt. Thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Pod is War. Until next time, we'll see you back here at St. Platt Time, St. Platt Channel. Until then, shalom. Hit it, Carly. We out, y'all. Ah!
They'd be your partner, they'd be
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.